Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, September 19th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, unemployment in Minnesota hits an eight-year low, Jeff Johnson attacks on Minsure, and the Minneapolis police chief skips a meeting on police department relations with the community. Absentee voting starts in most places around Minnesota today. For the first time in a general election, voters won't need an excuse for voting absentee. Mark Zedeklik reports.
Secretary of State Mark Ritchie says he's already gotten a lot of positive feedback about the new law that allows for excuse-free absentee voting. Ritchie says he thinks the change will catch on, but that it might take a while.
I know from people stopping me on the street or at the state fair just how thankful people are that they don't have to twist and turn and make up a story or possibly lie on a form just because they needed to vote absentee. That was kind of an old-fashioned thing.
People wishing to vote early can do it in person at county and city election offices. They can also request ballots through the mail. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota's unemployment rate fell to 4.3% in August, the lowest level in nearly 8 years. Employers in the state added more than 6,000 jobs last month. As Annie Baxter reports, the signs of strength in the job market mask some economic pain that remains.
There were a lot of good signs in Minnesota's economy last month. Private sector workers put in more hours, which helped fatten their paychecks. Employers in the state boosted hiring, and they signaled through online job ads that they plan to keep hiring. Also, the state's unemployment rate ticked down.
You know, at 4.3% unemployment, I'd say that our labor markets are moving into, you know, from slack to tight conditions.
That's Minnesota's chief labor market analyst, Steve Hine. He says job growth has been strong in recent months. But Hine acknowledges many people are still forced to take jobs below their skill levels out of economic desperation. Last month, about 120,000 Minnesotans said they had part-time jobs but wanted full-time work, roughly as big a group as the state's unemployed population. Plus, Hine says not every full-time job pays enough to cover the bills.
We got to be cognizant that there remain real challenges out there, both in terms of finding jobs quickly and finding jobs that are high quality.
Janice Anenson of Brooklyn Park is familiar with those challenges.
I'm still looking for full-time work that will actually make me more than $24,000 a year.
Anenson has a PhD in education and says she used to pull in $100,000 a year in a management job that she held for a decade at a university. But she got laid off in 2011. She now makes $12 an hour as a supervisor in retail. That income has helped her keep her house. But she has to do contract work and mow neighbors' lawns to survive. Anenson says all she does is work.
You can't get sick. You can't take a day off to enjoy an anniversary or to celebrate your mom's 75th birthday or to spend more time at your dad's funeral. And those are all decisions I've had to make in the last year.
Tight household budgets are taking a toll on more than consumers. General Mills just reported a 5% drop in U.S. sales yesterday. One of the main reasons? Consumers remain tight-fisted. In response, the company boosted cost-cutting. Today, General Mills announced two plant closings on the coasts, affecting nearly 700 jobs. But Toby Madden, an economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, says there are signs that wages are headed up. Madden notes wages ticked up nationally between July and August.
When we survey our business leaders and other folks in the economy, they're telling us that it's harder to get workers. We're also finding out that they're planning to increase their wages over the next year by around 2.6% approximately, which is higher than the inflation rate.
But that kind of increase still leaves people like Janice Amundsen far short of the buying power and standard of living she used to enjoy. Annie Baxter, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Republican Jeff Johnson sees an opportunity to pick up votes against Governor Mark Dayton by criticizing Dayton over Minsure. Preferred One, the most popular insurer on the online exchange, said earlier this week it's dropping out of the exchange. Johnson says that and other problems with Minsure show Dayton should lose his job. Tom Scheck has more.
Sensing an opportunity, Jeff Johnson has made Minsure his number one issue in the campaign. After criticizing Governor Dayton on Preferred One on Tuesday, yesterday, Johnson went to Mack Engineering in Minneapolis, where he and owner Jennifer Salisbury talked about the health care law's impact on small business.
Our company will be receiving a 34% increase in our premium.
Standing beside Johnson, Salisbury criticized Dayton for not accepting an offer from the White House to allow small businesses to keep their existing insurance plans for 2 years, even if they don't comply with Affordable Care Act standards.
This is impacting businesses. This is impacting people. This isn't small potatoes. This isn't something that, just a few of us are experiencing.
Johnson said Dayton should have followed the lead of other states and accepted the Obama administration's offer to temporarily waive the rules for small businesses.
39 governors said yes, Democrats and Republicans. Mark Dayton said no. He wouldn't stand up for the Mack Engineerings of Minnesota.
From what I've heard, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Dayton says he didn't grant the waiver because it would have increased insurance rates for 75% of the small businesses enrolled in small group coverage. The Minnesota Department of Commerce says those employers currently offer health coverage that complies with the Affordable Care Act. Dayton says granting the waiver for the other 25% that are not in compliance would have raised rates as much as 10%.
Well, all of the companies that are deficient, whose plans are deficient, to remain out of compliance, then that raises the rates on all the rest.
Johnson clearly thinks Dayton is vulnerable on MnSure. He says the problems getting the exchange up and running last year through this week's news that Preferred One is quitting MnSure showed that the governor is not an effective manager.
Mark Dayton was desperate to be the first governor in the country to implement Obamacare in Minnesota through MnSure. He got to handpick his board, he got to handpick his staff, and it has been an unmitigated disaster since day one.
But given that the Affordable Care Act is a federal law, Johnson would likely have few options to change the current system if he becomes governor. He says he'd ask the Obama administration to allow Minnesota to opt out of the system. He also said he'd fire MnSure's executives and remove the current board members. Johnson says he would not scrap MnSure and allow Minnesota to enroll in the federal health exchange. Dayton acknowledged that MnSure got off to a rocky start, but he says the system has been working better. He criticizes Johnson for not offering solutions on health care.
One of the telling points is that they don't offer an alternative. It's go back to what existed before. It's go back to this Wild West. Everybody offers something, and you get people who think they're insured and covered fine when they get sick or their loved ones get sick that they're not covered.
It's not clear how many people will cast their ballots based on MnSure. 54,500 people bought private plans through the exchange. Another 185,000 are enrolled in public plans like Medicaid. The number of enrollees is a fraction of the total electorate. Even Jennifer Salisbury, the business owner who stood alongside Johnson at yesterday's press conference, suggested it wasn't her top concern.
I'm going to vote on a lot of issues. My world is not just this, but I feel strongly about people hearing the information.
That's not deterring Jeff Johnson. He's scheduled to hold another news conference on MnSure today. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A face-to-face meeting to address police-community tensions in Minneapolis will have to wait for another day. That's because shortly before she was scheduled to appear at an evening forum yesterday, Minneapolis Police Chief Janae Harto decided not to participate. Harto said she heard of planned physical disruptions. Peter Cox reports on how both sides say they want to move forward, but they're not quite sure how.
Chief Harto's change in plans disappointed and frustrated residents of Minneapolis's 9th Ward and others hoping to talk with her about police and racism. Just a few hours before the meeting was to start at Sabathany Community Center near Powderhorn Park, the chief pulled out, citing security concerns. Speaking before about 150 people, moderator Nakima Levy-Pounds, a professor at the University of St. Thomas Law School, criticized the chief.
I'm really bothered by Chief Harto's decision to not participate in a community forum focused on police accountability, which we know is one of the most serious issues impacting our community.
Harto said she had received information from a person she called a longstanding community leader that the meeting would be disrupted. She said agitators may be planning to be arrested. The Minneapolis chief told reporters before the forum those planned disruptions were confirmed in Facebook posts.
You know, social media is a great tool, but it also provides people a platform to get very emotionally charged and say things that maybe they don't mean, but I can't take the chance that they're just threats. I have to look at them as potential reality.
Not only Harto, but uniformed police stayed away from the forum. The generally quiet audience brought signs. Some wore red wristbands to protest police brutality. Many talked in general terms about racism they saw or experienced. Speaking at two mic stands, members of the racially mixed audience said there was a lack of police accountability and too many petty arrests. 19-year-old Denicia Parker of North Minneapolis described what happened after she and her brother rode Metro Transit to school 2 years ago.
We were stopped downtown by a police officer. He came up to us and he put my brother in handcuffs. We just started walking off with him. I'm like, well, what are you doing? What are you arresting him for? And he said, for spitting. What can you do in the moment of that happening to fix it?
City Council member Alondra Cano said later she plans to follow up on ordinances that prohibit things like lurking to see if they could be eliminated. She says she'll also look at what can be done to make the Minneapolis police chief more accountable.
What can we do to change to make sure that the chief of police can respond to 13 council members, not just to the mayor? Because people here talked about the concentration of power and how the concentration of power doesn't give residents the accountability level that they want or that they need.
Cano said changes might even extend to how the police chief is selected.
Certainly looking at ways that we could push for making that office an elected office. I think that's going to make anybody who's the chief of police more responsive to the community.
Before the meeting, Harto said she's worried about possible backlash for not attending. And she said she missed a chance to talk with people who had questions.
You know, they're the ones that I feel sorry for the most, and it's unfortunate. They should be able to have their time with me, and I'm happy to find a different way to do that, because I still want to have the conversation.
This morning, the Minneapolis City Council plans to vote to give some police officers body cameras. It's a pilot program that both Harto and Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges support. Peter Cox, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again here next week.